You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am one of your weekly hosts and I'm joined by my other two weekly hosts, Ryan.
Hello.
And Derek.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing all right.
Good.
Excited to talk H2O, Waterboy.
H2O, Waterboy. Well, Happy New Year to most people. It's almost New Year's. So.
Is it?
By the time this episode comes out, yeah.
Oh, it's not close to New Year's right now.
So, not right now, no. But the episode comes out on the 28th of December. So.
Oh, future people. Happy New Year.
Hello from the past.
They are being a little weird about this because we are recording on December 18th. We're doing this for a couple different reasons. One, we got to see the movie this previous Saturday at the Amazon Prime special showing on the 15th. It was a lot of fun. And we are also going to, we're going to do this earlier anyway because we would have been recording on Christmas. And, you know, we decided to give ourselves that day off. The whole rest of the United States does, so why not us too?
Yeah, so basically it means there's no live stream for this one. So If you missed it, you didn't. It didn't happen. And we're taking next week off.
Yes. So. Yes. That means no news tonight because we can't predict the future.
Should we make up our own news?
No.
The Spider-Man Far From Home trailer still hasn't dropped.
Oh, God. Classic Derek.
So topical. It also means no box office information about this movie. We don't have a comparable number yet.
Both of you people that care about that, I'm sorry.
Hey, now. There's ones of us, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
But we do know that it made a little over $3 million on this special showing, which is only relevant because, sadly, that's about half as much as Mortal Engines made on its full opening weekend, which really bums me out. So,
yeah, that's upsetting.
Yeah.
Anyway, starting on the new year, our podcast is going to be dropping on Fridays. Our Twitch stream will still be Tuesday evening. We're not switching that up. However, the podcast will be Friday now instead of Thursday. So adjust your schedules accordingly. We know you're all very invested in this. We right. are.
So yeah, it starts January 11th. Mm-hmm. We're taking next week off, like we mentioned, and then we'll be coming back in the new year for our 2019 predictions, 2018 look back episode.
Yep.
Fun.
All right, so let's start. Let's talk about Aquaman.
We did a quick take on this one. If you haven't looked at that, go check it out. It's not on YouTube, I don't think. Maybe it is. Is it?
No.
Okay.
I actually did not put this one on YouTube.
It's only on Facebook.
So, and Twitter.
Facebook exclusive.
Facebook and Twitter. It's on Facebook.
Facebook and Twitter exclusive.
So quick
move. Facebook, Twitter, and Slack exclusive.
It's a timed exclusive.
That's right.
So Quick Movie Takes is our short form spoiler free web series that we do around the release of new films, and they're short. They're only a couple of minutes. I think this one was like 240 or something like that. Actually, this one is on YouTube. It's Spider-Man. That's not Spider-Man was shorter, so I could put it straight on Twitter, but there we give our spoiler free thoughts on the film. So this is your spoiler warning for this episode. If you want our spoiler free quick take, you can go check that out at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook or at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter.
Exclusively.
From the Heroes Podcast Network.
That's right. Anyway, sorry, Rachel.
No, you guys are good.
What movie is this?
We're talking about Aquaman. That's enough of Screen Heroes changes and information. So let's talk Aquaman.
Let's do it.
What'd you guys think?
I had a really good time.
Yeah.
In the movie, I enjoyed it. It was a positive experience overall. It definitely doesn't have the dark grittiness, I think, that people are expecting from the DC universe, the worlds of DC, DCEU, whatever they're calling it. Ryan? I mean, we're going to get into a lot of details. So
yeah,
I don't know how far to go.
It was better than a lot of the other DC movies. Not a lot. About half.
Well, there's only five. This is the sixth one, right?
Yeah, so. About half is better than I would say. And I mean, it certainly wasn't bad, but there was definitely some things that I didn't really love about it. But it was fun. I enjoyed myself at the theater, which is better than a lot of other movies I saw this year. So, you know, no sleeping on this one.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I found some of the visuals really beautiful, especially underwater.
I think everybody did. I don't think that's a point that anybody would contend with you on.
And I felt that it, on a personal level, the underwater scenes, especially in Atlantis, and the score with it, the soundtrack with it, was very Daft Punk-esque. It just reminded me of Tron, which immediately gives me nice warm fuzzies because I love Tron, and I felt like this was very much underwater Tron.
I can appreciate that. Bioluminescence is a real thing, and it's a lot of fun, and it's something that fish, more than any other species, possess. It's like fish and fungus, and that's it. So the fact that they incorporated those beautiful neon colors down below is pretty fantastic. It was a huge spectacle. My issue overall, because it does have the fun feeling, it's just, I think all these movies are refusing to look deeper, and it makes me miss the days of Dark Knight and Iron Man, Winter Soldier. Like, we've seen origin movies go deeper and talk about, you know.
Those are both sequels that you mentioned.
Iron Man.
Oh, okay. Iron Man. Dark Knight and Winter Soldier are both sequels, though. So
they are.
On an origin movie, it's not quite as easy. Iron Man was kind of a, you know, magic.
Yeah, Iron Man was special.
Yeah.
Usually a movie that doesn't have its script finished doesn't turn out very well.
Right.
Let alone one of the best. So.
I guess this was a very superficial movie. And that works for Aquaman because so far, everything he's had before him has kind of sucked. You know, nobody's really portrayed Aquaman in such a badass way, but it's
just the Justice League cartoon. Yeah. That was a different Aquaman. Anyway.
He was also only in two episodes.
That's fair.
He's not part of the cast.
Yeah.
I agree that it was shallow. I think part of that is their lead actor, Jason Momoa. Wonderful. I loved him actually quite a bit in this movie and more in the role than I thought I would, but I don't know that he has a super deep capability for acting, and they kind of leaned on his normal shtick, and you know, that it worked, you know, but yeah, I think part of that, I don't think he could have done a much deeper story, maybe in the future when he's got some more movies under his belt. But, and to your point, Derek, about Tron feelings, that brings up, I didn't want to get into this early, but you already brought it up, so might as well start in on it. I think that they relied on nostalgia feelings for a lot of things that didn't actually improve the movie, but they wanted people to feel like it made it better. Does that make sense? Like, your feelings that you got from Tron, there was a lot of scenes where you would watch, and I was like, I've seen this before. At least for me. It's the only one that I really truly remember clearly is the scene where Black Manta is putting together a suit. And like with
that's
the
very tech, Iron Man.
It was almost, yeah, you could have put them side by side and it was probably extremely similar. We're like throwing things out and like blast through the thing. It was so Iron Man-y.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Cool. It worked, but like, I have other problems with that scene. But
well, the Thomas Curry and Atlanta storyline is very romantic dramedy kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen that in every Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah.
I have a small nitpicky thing. Why in the hell would Thomas Curry put a bandage on top of her suit? Like, you don't put a bandage on top of your clothes. That's not going to do anything.
I mean, I think we know why. The why is otherwise he'd have to undress her, and then we'd be having that conversation.
There was already a hole. You cut the hole bigger and put the bandage on the cut there.
I mean, he's just a lighthouse
keeper. This is Atlantean technology. Maybe he couldn't cut it.
Ooh, there you go.
He has to withstand the forces of being underwater.
Either way,
I'm good with that.
It's not going to help her. Like, that bandage didn't help.
Well, that's not the only, like, ridiculous thing.
No, it's not,
but
I'm a medical professional. Like, I know what's gonna help a woo.
I took him as he's just a lighthouse keeper. He probably barely knows enough first aid to not die, you know, right? But I think for me, it just felt like a very by the numbers origin story, right?
It didn't really do anything special.
It didn't click to me specifics. Like, I didn't think Iron Man. Looking back on it, I totally see it now, right?
But there were other spots. I think if you went and saw it with that mindset where you were like, I'm going to look for things that remind me of other movies, There's a lot of Indiana Jones, clearly.
Yes.
And these are a lot of Little Mermaid. Like, there's a lot of things that are like, that are made specifically to make you go, oh, this reminds me of something I love. And then you come out going, I loved that. But you didn't really love that. You loved what you originally loved. And in this, it worked for you.
I'm not angry at that approach to it. James Wan has never done a superhero film. He's really only known for horror. And honestly, it was still a cohesive picture.
Sure.
Unlike...
I enjoyed it.
Justice League and Suicide Squad, which are, you know, the biggest hot messes of the DCEU. So at least there's that. At least there's cohesion. And it was beautiful to look at. And in the end, I mean, that's better than what we've seen before from the same company. So I think
King Arthur was another one, by the way, that referenced
absolutely.
Pretty heavily.
Yeah, I mean the whole, like, the trident is...
You have to pull the trident from the hands of every other person has died or something like that. You know what I mean?
His name is Arthur.
Like, I get that, but it's a little on the nose for me, I guess.
I guess I always thought that was just part of the character, not necessarily just this film.
I don't know a lot about Aquaman outside of this film. I know that once he got his hand chopped off, he had a water tornado for a hand, which was pretty cool.
He had a water tornado and he had a giant hook.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the once in future king, right? That's kind of what the character is in a nutshell. And that's the title of a King Arthur book. So I always just assumed those went hand in hand. So you can't really, if you escape it, you're ignoring who the character is. That's all.
Okay. So, I think that they've done a lot of weirder things in other movies that have been a good way of giving the character whatever MacGuffin you need to give them. That weren't necessarily comic accurate, and it worked. Like, they could have done something different. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, but there's
always alternatives.
So many reminiscent things that were designed, I feel like, to make you go feel good about this.
Yeah.
And comfortable.
There's so many new ideas out there. All of us are just basically walking, talking references to movies ourselves. So it makes sense. Obviously, James Wan is a movie fan. He is a cinephile.
Sure. And that came through in the movie for sure. I just think he leaned on it a little too much.
And that's possible.
I guess I just barely noticed it. Like, I noticed the Indiana Jones portion of it, but,
I think if you went and watched it again, having us put that thought in your mind, you would probably pick up more.
I mean, that's possible. I think it might be because I was actually bothered by the Mantis scene you guys are talking about, rather than like thinking about
Iron
Man.
So was my girlfriend, so I'm interested to see if it's the same reason.
So it works in Iron Man because Tony Stark is one of the most intelligent people on the planet, especially as it pertains to technology, right? And he's using his own technology to build something else with it. So there's some level of, you know, suspending belief type thing, but in this case...
He had a box of scraps in a cave and... Okay. Yeah,
right,
got it.
Right,
over
but like, you know...
Tony Stark!
He is Tony Stark, right? But in this case, like... Manta is a pirate, very good pirate, very intelligent,
he
strong,
had some gear when he showed
pirate.
Up, so who knows, you know.
Yeah, he's
like,
probably
these are top tier guys.
Making and using some weapons.
But they don't explain that at all.
But yeah, none of that's really touched on. And then he's not handed human technology, his own technology. This is essentially alien technology.
Yeah.
Right? Like, sure, it's
for
from
all intents
Earth,
and purposes,
but it's alien
technology. And instead
of
him just putting it on, which is what I would do... He decides to go and mod it up.
He's like, I can do it better, which, I mean...
Was it better, though? Because it was just huge and bulky.
I'm saying that was his thought process. Right. His thought process was, here's alien technology that's clearly way advanced. I can do it better. Now, maybe that's part of his character building to show that he's too cocky. He's too confident in himself, and that ends up being his own undoing. Maybe that's the point.
See,
but it just was not believable.
I loved that the suit ended up malfunctioning, that it was kind of his downfall, because it was his first test run of the whole thing. So the fact that he, you know, took some hits and couldn't really get back up, that made sense to me. So at least the hubris was counteracted by, like, a literal fall off a cliff.
But he shouldn't have even been able to make it in the first place.
That's my problem.
And that's the same problem that was presented to me afterwards. I did, like, go, okay, I guess he knows how to work with stuff, but it didn't really, I didn't think about it. And then after the movie, she brought it up to me and said, that was kind of weird that he just knew how to do this with this random technology. And I was like, yeah, I guess now that you mention it, that is weird.
Because like when you think about
in,
it...
In the comic books, is he like a super tech genius guy?
I don't know.
I don't know enough about him.
I mean, so Aquaman's never been one of my favorite characters. Okay. Yeah, it's nothing personal against the character, right? So I don't know as much about Manta. The problem is, though, when you're going to do what's essentially an origin movie, right? I mean, we've seen him already. We've seen Aquaman already, but this is really his origin story. We don't know Manta. We're introduced to him as a pirate who's learning under his father, and who are clearly...
Did he make all his suits? Like, we don't know.
We have no idea. Right? We really don't know. And so I need something, right? Where Iron Man succeeds is we're told who Tony Stark is, and like in a very quick, easy way that we get, and then we move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for Manta, we don't.
I feel like that had to have been... So, there's no way James Wan just went through this whole movie going, okay, we don't need at all to explain that this guy knows how to work with tech, so we're just going to do it. Like, that had to be something that got cut.
I mean, it's possible. Part of me also thinks they just needed to get him the technology, and having one set of armor that looks drastically different from everybody else just made for him would be weird.
I mean, the way I thought about it was that technology was designed for underwater, and he's using it on land, so like it was powered by water or whatever, so he needed like tanks of water to be able to power the technology, so he had to modify it to make it so that he could use it on land all the time.
I mean,
I don't know.
He has made his suit before. I've seen that. Like, I know that that's a thing that happens. It's just never been so far removed from the Atlantean life. You know what I mean? Like, this was straight up the dude... he's just handed this suit. He's never touched Atlantean weaponry, right? That fire, like the time he tests that gun is the first time he's ever touched Atlantean weapons in this universe, right? And that's the problem for me, I think. But so that's why I didn't get that vibe from Iron Man, because I was more like, well, this is way too convenient.
But then you just compared it to Iron Man.
Because you did.
Oh, okay.
Because you did. So I'm just drawing
a parallel. I didn't know if in your head you were like thinking that.
No, it was just way too easy for me, because it's being juxtaposed with Arthur and Mira in the desert, right, trying to find the trident. And so I'm like, well, they're gone for like what, 3 days, 4 days?
Who knows? It doesn't really
say, but it can't
The passage of time is not clear
and
here.
Travel,
but yeah, since they're tracking her, though, it couldn't be that long, right? It's not like the Atlanteans are going to take a month to catch her, right? That's not what it is. It's got to be a couple of days. So you're telling me that Manta gets alien technology and basically is able to...
build two helmets, because he builds that first helmet and it explodes the first time he shoots it. And so he decides to...
He reverse engineers the entire thing in a matter of days. Just doesn't seem realistic. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about realism in a movie that essentially has a Kraken in it. So let's, and dinosaurs. So, I mean, you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt, I suppose. Right. But
spoiler, there are dinosaurs in this film.
We already did our spoiler warning.
I know.
Oh, okay. But there has to be some semblance of reality, and that was on the realistic side of the movie, and it didn't land for me.
Yeah, that was supposed to be like the grounded character, right? Basically. Yeah.
Which is a shame, because the character is really interesting.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. I actually thought both the villains were pretty decent in this movie.
Agreed. Yeah.
Which, like, that's something it has over Marvel movies, because a lot of the Marvel movies, the villains are dead at the end, and they weren't that great to begin with, so this one, they're both still alive, and...
Yeah, I mean, something could be said for that. DC has kept most of its villains alive, so that's a good thing. Yeah. You can always bring them back and do them, even better the next time. But I thought these two were pretty good, too.
One of the biggest issues I had with the movie was, I felt like they didn't know how to handle underwater.
What do you mean?
So everything looked weird to me when it was underwater. Like, it looked like people's heads were CGI'd onto their bodies. And it was constantly bothersome for me. Maybe really? It wasn't a problem for everybody else. I didn't think they nailed, like, when it's like vast landscapes and you see, animals and stuff, that's cool. But then when it was people talking, some people had like a weird bubbly effect, like Willem Dafoe. When he first started talking, he had like almost like muffled, like underwater sound, but then nobody else had that.
Hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like that they just weren't sure that an underwater superhero is tough. They also put him on land a lot for a character named Aquaman. He was on land for probably half the movie or more.
Well, that's part of the point, though, right? Is that he doesn't want to be down there.
Sure. Okay. But then why do they decide that him and Mara decide that they need to take a boat to wherever they were going? Why were they on a boat? They can swim faster than, like, rockets.
Well, I assumed that the idea was to avoid the creatures in the trench that they got attacked by.
they got attacked by him anyway. Like, what difference did it end up making?
Oh, you mean the boat they took after the Manson? Yeah. Well, because he was unconscious and, like, dying, remember?
Okay, but she could have just, like, you know, jetted them away. It's water. He's buoyant.
I mean, she heals him up, though. Remember, like, he's bandaged up and everything like that? So, like, that seems fine to me.
But water should heal him. He's Aquaman. Like, let's...
Water doesn't heal them.
Maybe it should make him accelerate healing. I don't know. I'm not writing the character. I'm just saying, it seemed a little weird. You have a character named Aquaman, and then they take boats in multiple times in the movie.
That's the only boat I can remember in the movie after he's knocked out and she has to lug him around.
Okay. Well, I know there was the scene with the trench.
That's the same boat.
Okay, same boat. Still two separate scenes. So
well, they're one after the other, though.
But they could have gotten there in like 2 seconds if they just swam.
I mean, if he wasn't injured and unconscious. Okay. Yeah.
Well, so he had so much time to get better on this boat.
I mean, you just want to rewrite the end of the fight, though, is the problem. Yeah, so
I do.
Okay. But that wasn't how the fight went. The whole point is that Manta can really hurt him. You know, otherwise...
So can a grenade. Like, we get it. Big explosions hurt Aquaman.
No, the grenade didn't really do anything.
It knocked him down and, like, knocked him out for a few seconds.
But he didn't have any scarring or bleeding or anything where he did against Manta.
No, but neither did Luke Cage when he got shotgunned to the face. He didn't have any scarring or bleeding, but he was unconscious for a day. I'm just saying, Rachel is waiting for us to stop so she could say something.
Oh my god, it's been so long, guys. Like,
well, we usually don't let you talk, so I guess this time if you have an opinion, you can say
so
something.
It's so crazy. I don't even know what to say. Like, you guys just kind of went for the stuff that you disliked.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
No, I literally have no idea what to say. I have no opinion other than what I've already stated about the Atlantean armor.
Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about the movie?
I mean...
What do you think of the costumes in general?
So the costumes are pretty fantastic. It was hard to reconcile at first because they are incredibly brightly colored. And that is not DC's go-to. You know, so far the brightest colored character has been Harley Quinn. Everybody else has been very... dark sepia tone.
Even hers was like muted because of the filter over. Yeah,
exactly. So this was like everybody got turned on neon or something. So
did you, you guys get Thor Ragnarok vibes from that at all?
No.
I got a lot of Thor Ragnarok vibes, the color palette. Yeah. And I realized that they were probably filming maybe not the same time, but probably pretty close to, not enough time to where they could have watched Thor Ragnarok and gone, this is what we should be doing. I don't think they stole it or anything, but I got a lot of vibes in the color palette they were using.
I didn't get that, personally. Ragnarok feels much more 80s than Aquaman does.
I got a lot of, like... So, okay.
I think Aquaman it must feels just be me. Early 2000s for me. Like, I could imagine this movie coming out around the same time as Spider-Man.
That's interesting.
I mean, I wonder if that's just because Willem Dafoe's in both. Yeah, like, right, that's what if that's what's messing with me.
Also, his aging technology, not good. Not as good as Marvel. They don't have it down that good.
I didn't see any problems with it.
Okay.
I didn't notice any problems with it.
I wasn't really buying it when he was, you know, the younger version of himself, or one of them seemed Lando. Off to me. Yeah.
I seriously thought they both looked fine.
Okay.
At this point.
Apparently I'm just seeing all kinds of stuff that you have no idea about.
Maybe it's because I'm not used to watching a movie from like a 30 degree angle.
I'm sure that's what it is. I knew he was going to complain about that.
No, I honestly really didn't notice any de-aging issues with Dafoe at all.
Okay. Did you notice the issue that somehow Black Manta's normal knife can't pierce his skin, but then his knife that his grandfather gave him or whatever can pierce Aquaman?
That's not what happened.
Isn't that what happened?
No.
I feel like I missed something.
So he stabs Arthur with the Atlantean sword, and then digs his own knife into the same spot.
Oh, okay. That makes it feel me feel a little bit better about it. That's a little weird.
That's what
happened. So, when it happened, I was like, how did he just stab him with a regular knife when before he couldn't even like come close to hurting him?
No.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little better at least. Yeah. It did seem like everybody in the movie was having a good time. I really liked Mera and Aquaman's chemistry.
Right?
I didn't like her wig. It never really felt normal to me, but the chemistry
that
was really
color
good.
Red for some reason didn't come off well with her skin tone. I wish they would have gone more orange, to be honest, and less Christmas.
Something more natural would have been better.
Even like they didn't have to go completely natural. They come from like a fairy fantasy world, so like
that.
unnatural colors would be fine, but it's gotta look like your own follicles can produce it, and it didn't.
Yeah, the hair wasn't moving like normal hair. I mean, it was just obviously a wig, which kind of bothered me. But she was great. Like I said, I loved their chemistry. I really enjoyed the scenes where they were together.
She was fantastic. So Mara was probably my favorite character out of the whole movie, and I think it's because her character was the most solidified. They knew from the beginning what they wanted out of her, and Amber Heard played it very well. Her character could hold her own. They showed the magic part. Mira.
It looked like we were watching Avatar to me, and I was like, they tell me that those water bending scenes didn't make you feel like you were seeing something out of Avatar.
It was very similar. They used similar techniques
except her abilities have been around longer than Avatar has.
Sure, but we haven't seen it on screen.
No, but, so that's, but
I'm not saying they stole it. But my
point is, though, you can't say that they're pulling from nostalgia for something that they created first in the IP.
They created those visual effects before.
No, they create. How else would you show her bending water?
I don't know, but it just felt very much like something I'd seen before.
Okay, but I feel like that could be said anytime a superhero flies.
Sure.
Or shoots laser beams or any number of things that lots of people do. I mean, the Avatar live action film got made before the Aquaman film, but Mira's been around a lot longer than Avatar has.
I didn't say she had.
So my point is I don't think they went and looked, we should do it like the Avatar movie. I don't think that was a conversation.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, nobody should do anything like the Avatar movie.
Well, there's that.
Ever. But the Avatar TV show, I think is really good at watching how people could potentially manipulate the elements should they possess that power. So if they did lift a few hand movements or whatever from the TV show, then, more power to them. The TV show is incredibly visually stunning. So I can't be mad about that. I just really like how Mara was a formidable martial artist, as well as the Atlantean magician.
She was smarter than Arthur Curry.
Smarter than Orm. She was smarter than her father. Like, it's almost upsetting how dumb the dudes were compared to her. But at the same time, I am so used to seeing all the women in movies being dumb as shit.
I actually liked that they made Arthur Curry, not really that smart. And that was fine with me. When I talk about the Ghostbusters movie, I always go back to this, but they made the women so smart and the men so dumb that it was unbelievable. But this movie, he seemed like he was average intelligence, which is fine. Right. Not every superhero has to be
grew up in a lighthouse.
In a humble, he was had a humble, childhood.
He focused more on his hand-to-hand skills with Vulko, and clearly he wasn't popular at school, so there's a lot of explanation why book smarts wouldn't be his thing.
And I think a superhero being average intelligence is refreshing.
It is.
Because when you talk Captain America, he's really strong and everything, but then also he's the best tactical mind in the entire Marvel universe. And then, everybody
then again,
has
Black
something.
Black Widow's the best. Tactical mind,
it
spy, and
on
like,
what
they're
run
all like
or whatever.
Peak intelligence minus Thor, who
even he
he's
can
the
figure
best,
stuff
strongest
out
strongest fighter
yeah.
and everything.
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was refreshing that he
I
wasn't
agree.
The smartest guy all the time.
I like seeing my heroes have flaws.
And acknowledge those flaws. He said he wasn't, that smart. Not in those words, but
no, he acknowledged multiple times that he was only good to punch things.
Yeah. Which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked all the creatures we got to see.
The trench was great.
Most of them were really cool. I'm not super keen on the Isle Nublar that they find underwater. But
no.
Is that the one in when he's trying
Earth's
to get the trident?
Core.
Okay. The hidden sea.
Yeah.
It's basically it's little Jurassic Park, and that.
But it doesn't mean anything. So I honestly didn't even register. It does not matter what inhabits that island as long as you have some place where Atlanta is still there, and then you have I, for the love of God, do not remember. It's the Kaiju Kraken, and that thing was well rendered and frightening, and I really enjoyed that.
I wasn't really, I don't know, I wasn't really that scared of that. It was fine. Oh, like, no, it was like, not like, I didn't
the,
think it was
the
that.
The horror aspect kind of just came out of nowhere. Like, it was drastically different.
Well, I mean, James Wan has done horror movies before, so I guess I expected a little more from that. But it was fine. It functioned for what it was. I didn't have a huge issue with it. It's just
he had to put it on a larger scale, right? Because you basically have the Battle of the Five Armies, but underwater, right? So he's got to have, you know, the Brian people, and you know they all look like creatures, and they have to have the mermaid people, and then they had the Trench, and you know, so they had a lot of crazy creatures that don't actually exist, and then they had to have the real ones like the sharks and the Momolosaur and
whales. There were
the
whales.
Yeah, a lot of whales. You know, and I thought they all looked really good. I thought that was fairly impressive. The battle sequence definitely looked better than I thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
But
the battle was cool. Yeah, it was nice. Although I didn't really love the fight, the Orm Arthur fight.
Which one?
Already.
The first one or the
did
second
I say
one?
That? No, I'm talking about the on the boat.
Yeah, you
okay.
said that. Already.
I did say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was fine.
It was just a little too like too cool for school. Like, you know, when I was scared when they cast, we talked about this when they cast Jason Momoa as Aquaman, that they were trying to go so far in the opposite direction. And I think for most of the movie, they did a good job not taking it that far. And making him so overly... Remember our first promo was him, like, drinking a beer and slamming it down on the ground while waves crashed behind him. And I was like, I really hope that they don't, you know, go that crazy. And for the most of the movie, they didn't. And okay. But I think that last fight, they were like, every single move he made, he was posing. It was not, like,
actual I took movements. It as it was supposed to be showing the power of the trident that, you know, he now was wielding. He was, like, untouchable, essentially.
But know? All it really did was enhance... like he can now talk to more fish in a larger area.
I mean,
didn't really
he performed significantly better in that fight, so I mean I assumed it gave him better speed and strength. Maybe it even gave him better presence of
I think
how
it was a placebo
fight,
and just made him a
I mean,
made more confident
that
and then he
it
also
too, but...
gave him better posing abilities.
So the trident has big dick energy, not
yes,
Momoa.
Exactly.
Is that it?
Because I mean, the whole point is whoever has the trident is the rightful heir, right?
Yeah.
And it has its own powers. I mean, unless you think he
sure,
just found
powers...
that suit in like a drawer and decided to put it on. Like...
Well, he was wearing it. Like,
yeah,
the guy
took
it from.
Oh, is that what he did?
Yeah. It didn't like magically appear on him like a lantern suit or something when he picked up
the
trident.
Actually better than what I had in my head then.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
I had the trident
no,
like, generating that suit form like a
when you're done with the boss battle, you loot the
corpse.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, right. Come on, this is D&D 101.
It's not an Elsa situation where her powers can, you know, build houses and create blizzards and then also make dresses.
Right.
See, they didn't really like give a clear example of what this trident did. They did imply several times that it's, you know, you're the rightful heir, and that's fine. I can buy that. But then like it made him a better fighter, or like it did seem to enhance his ability to communicate with fish, which he already had.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't really give him a new power. So if like Orm went and picked this up, does that mean that he can now talk to fish, or he still can't? Because he couldn't do it before.
I would imagine it would enhance whatever Atlantean traits he has.
Right. Okay. That's how I took the trident.
His man bunniness and
oh god, it wasn't really a man bun though,
no,
was it?
Like,
it was like flat in the back
yeah,
and then
all,
tied
like,
up underneath.
Swooped up.
Yeah.
Like,
it was weird.
It was a backwards duck bill.
I didn't really love him in that role. Like,
I did
not
like Patrick Wilson, and I usually love Patrick Wilson. I know he was hired because James Wan just loves him. He's in all the Conjuring
films. I like
films
him in a lot
and,
of things, but
yeah, he was great in Watchmen.
Role. Yeah, that's my favorite.
I thought he got the job done. I mean,
sure.
his character is mainly to spout exposition through most of the film.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't get to do
so
a
that's
whole lot.
My biggest nitpicky thing. There was so much explanation that had to be done because they forced a lot into this. Now, I'm happy that it didn't feel overstuffed with information, but reflecting on it, I was sitting there and I was like, oh my god, they had to explain Atlanta, they had to explain Atlantis, they had to explain the king and the search for the trident, they had to explain the seven different factions of the fish people and how two of them are no more and how one is just basic zombie underground or underwater monster.
Faceless monsters, yeah.
They
you always
cool.
have to have the faceless army.
Yeah.
They were cool. That scene with all the red and...
That was about as creepy as the movie
yeah.
got, yeah.
But the attack on the boat and everything, that was a really cool shot. That just,
when they're going down.
Yeah, they showed that in the trailer. I kind of wish they hadn't showed that in the trailer.
I agree. It's a really good shot, though. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's really cool.
It's one of those things where, like, I guess they probably threw it in the trailer because it's unique, right? There's not too many movies where you could even do a shot like that because it wouldn't make any sense. And so they're like, well, we're going to show them this cool thing we were able to do. But I still think it worked really well on the big screen. The trench was really cool.
Yeah, I loved the trench. It's one of the few times where the faceless, nameless army works for me because, you know, we don't know as much about the ocean as we would like. And we see schools of fish. So there's actual thought process to it as opposed to Loki just has this numerous army for no reason.
Yeah. I like the Brian, actually. I think the Brian were probably my favorite design. I thought they were just super cool.
Well, they were neat because they were like, they used their shells as mech armor.
Right.
So that was fun.
So, you know, they had like giant spider crabs and they had catapults that were flipping the lava and all that kind of stuff. That just seemed really neat. I wasn't sure how they were going to pull off.
And the fishermen people were very beautiful.
They were.
They were done in pretty blues and pinks and
I would never argue that the visuals were... Right? They were all spectacular. Yeah, I really enjoyed visually the movie. It's mostly just the nitpicky stuff that I... Yeah. Like I said, I really enjoyed the movie. It sounds like I'm really shitting on it, but I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
It was fun.
Where do you guys rank it in your DCEU rankings?
I think that Wonder Woman is still the best film that they've produced. I think Aquaman had less CGI problems than Wonder Woman, but...
Yeah, especially in the final fight, for sure. I agree with that. The Aquaman, Wonder Woman final fight was rough.
Yeah.
So, for perspective, it's being reported, now this is not confirmed by Warner Brothers yet, but it's being reported that it had a budget of $200 million.
Which is more than what Wonder Woman had, for sure.
It's more than what Wonder Woman had. It was only beaten by BVS had $250.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't necessarily show it at times. But 200 is pretty big. I mean, the Star Wars movies get like 207. The Last Jedi, I think, got 207, right, for perspective on that. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad got 165.
I would only place Wonder Woman ahead of it. It would be my second favorite out of all of this. I don't think... Maybe Man of Steel is a better movie. I think Man of Steel has zero CGI issues. But I enjoy this one. Wonder Woman had an easier story considering most of it was set in 1941 and they didn't have to do CGI.
Yeah, they didn't need as much exposition. They didn't need...
Yeah.
You
know,
this is not a statement on Henry Cavill, but I would watch Aquaman over Man of Steel any day, I think.
Aquaman is just a more fun movie to watch. Man of Steel is a little heavy. It's
kind of a depressing movie. And Cavill, I think, is still a great Superman and a good Clark Kent. So it's nothing about him.
Cavill's the best actor out of Gadot, Momoa, and Cavill. And I say this because Gadot plays Wonder Woman. Doesn't really play anything else very well.
Okay, Derek, where would you rank it in terms of... You know, not necessarily what you would watch
of
again,
the DCEU,
but like in terms
of those six films.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd probably put it at number two behind Wonder Woman as well. I still think Wonder Woman is a better film overall, right? I mean, the end battle in Wonder Woman has a lot of technical issues with it that I don't really like, and the villain is nowhere near as strong, but the movie itself, the story, the characters, I just think are better written, better performed.
I want to know who was the asshole that hired Remus Lupin to be a Greek god. Like, I want
to
know.
We'll never know the answer to that. And even if we do, we'll never be able to do anything about it.
Like, so that just doesn't really work. Whereas, like, in this one, I think Orym works. I mean, he may not be the most threatening ocean master in the world, but you know, I felt like he fit the role that they were trying to put into this universe. Manta was really good. So the villains were good. I liked the villains.
Oh, I think my favorite part about Orym... I don't want to call him the Ocean Master. He wasn't the Ocean Master.
He was for like 30 seconds.
Once he saw his mom again, he stopped.
Yeah,
he
did. I did like that.
So many...
But they didn't really get to like... You didn't get to really feel what that impact was.
But,
because it wasn't given much time.
Well, because he says earlier in the movie that he blames his brother for her death.
Yeah.
I agree that the emotional conclusion wasn't there. But the halt to it was his motivations changed once his mother appeared and hugged him. And that's not the same. So many of those last minute throwaways get put into films and then nothing changes. It doesn't matter. And so it kind of feels like a waste to shovel it all in. And I was going to be very disappointed. What's the point of keeping Atlanta alive if she doesn't have an emotional effect on Orm?
Right.
So I liked that at the very least.
Yeah, that's
she had
that's
a really big, for me, I'm going to keep going on this nostalgia thing, but she it felt like we were seeing a Predator. When yeah. She went to, when yeah, we went, that Predator and they land outfit. On Jurassic Park.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it had like the same netting and like the big yeah. mask was very reminiscent of Predator. It looked like a Predator thing for me. I'm not complaining about it. I thought it was cool, but it was definitely like I immediately yeah. got Predator vibes.
I mean, at the very least, all the stuff that she had appeared on the island, so sure. it looked like she could have easily
yeah,
put
I'm
it together.
Yeah, I'm not saying it didn't like yeah. so make sense, but... It like the netting and stuff. It's just that was something that the Predator has always yeah. used, and
it did look a little silly on top of her.
Yeah, that
Atlantic,
was it was
Atlantean outfit.
It was still cool. I enjoyed that when she came back. I thought that was a neat scene. But
yeah,
I mean, it was very predictable.
It's
like,
clearly to try and get the audience not to think who it is,
right?
Right, like that's the whole point. Otherwise, you just show her standing there.
Yeah,
you know. But no, it was fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's got, you know, a few issues here and there, but special effects I thought were really good. I was really happy with them. Atlantis looked fantastic. All the technology they used looked super good. The physical stuff that they wore, the armor, the weapons, all looked great.
Aquaman's end suit was really great. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that was great looking.
Could you imagine getting tasked with that? Because that was some team's job, right? Was to design and make that suit. And you were basically told, hey, we need you to make the Super Friends Aquaman look cool. That's your job, you know, like,
I wish
for the next
somebody
year,
would tell me that.
Right?
Like, and give me a year to work on it.
And they pulled it off.
That'd
I think they I think
definitely
they really
did.
And it looked great, which is shocking. It never, first off, I mean, yes, they showed it in the later trailer, so obviously we knew about it. But it never occurred to me before then that they would ever actually show a live action version. Maybe
yeah.
have it in a case somewhere in a scene that they walk by, right, as
right.
a nod. But to have them wear it, I never thought was going to happen, let alone actually having it look
good. Let alone doing a scene where he's diving out of the water and posing in front of the sunset or whatever.
There's some fan service. You know, there's
yeah,
definitely
clearly.
Some fan service. But, I mean, that's okay. You know, lots of franchises do fan service and, you know.
But I'll tell you that it separated itself. It distanced itself from Justice League and the other DC. There's almost no references at all to what he did in the previous movie in Justice League.
I was happy that Mira threw in the line that you have defeated Steppenwolf.
That was pretty much it, though. That
for
was it.
Me, I needed that timeline. Like, did this come before or after? And I'm really glad it
well,
came after because...
if you pay attention to the props, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
Because if it had come before,
true.
He would have had the actual trident, not the fork.
No, you're right.
Just saying. But yes, I get that. I understand that. And I kind of loved that they didn't, you know, constantly reference Superman or something, you know.
There wasn't a need to, though. Like, the story is centralized.
But they could have. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah,
they
could
have fanserviced the shit out of it.
On it.
And I wouldn't have liked that very much.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the rumors that they're trying to distance themselves from Batman and Superman as a studio anyway.
Yeah.
Right, regardless
Which this
of the story,
actually held
so.
Up. Like, that rumor is held up, I think, by this movie.
I actually don't think this movie had anything to do with it, because I don't think it would have mattered. There's nothing
and
to
that's,
do.
That's possible.
You know, like, at this point, if you wanted to put something in there, you're shoehorning it in on purpose. Whereas, like, Shazam's going to be a little bit different, because as a kid, he idolizes these heroes.
Well,
so,
his friend does.
Well, his friend's right. So he's got, you know, the Batarang, and he's got the newspapers and,
right.
and all that type of stuff, right? So that makes sense that you have to question how to handle that. Aquaman... yeah, you got the one throwaway line to let you know that they know who he is, and then you can move on from that. So I don't think that really gives us an answer on anything.
So the after credits scene, can
yes.
somebody explain, was that supposed to be relevant in some way? I'm not an Aquaman fan, so I don't know who that other guy was.
I don't
was.
Know who Dr. Stephen Shin is, other than, you know, Randall Park, who is a great actor.
Who's also an Ant-Man, right? And
yes.
And The Office.
Yes.
Oh, right, he's the FBI guy.
And yeah. Asian Jim.
So now he's also a Marvel and DC and Asian Jim.
Good for him. I like him. As
he's
an actor.
Fresh off the boat.
Like, yeah,
but I don't know
exactly.
who he's supposed to be. Like, I feel like there was supposed to be something in that after
That's
credit
something
scene.
Something that we should
it.
Really look into, I guess, for later. But I imagine he's going to help Black Manta get back on his feet for the sequel. And here's the thing. I really
maybe
hope
it was more
this
to
movie
show,
gets a sequel.
Maybe it was more to show that Black Manta is still alive. Maybe that's
yeah,
what that scene was
that
for, and I'm
be.
Reading too much into it. But I feel like This is like the first time we will have to Google it after credit scene and find out what the relevance is.
You see somebody like Randall Park in one of those TV news clips only, and you're like, why is that guy there? He's got to be a much bigger thing, because it's not like a Bill O'Reilly cameo.
Right.
It's, you know, an actual actor, so
right.
He's got to have a bigger part.
He's got to be another character, like another superhero or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
There's no way. Because they would, you know, after credit scene is a huge thing for a superhero movie.
So he's actually a relatively new character. So this is probably Geoff Johns doing. He was created in the debut of New 52's Aquaman.
Cool.
So he's only been around since 2011.
Okay.
So he's a relatively new character. He is a marine biologist. And he's very much into
Atlantean
technology. The thing is, his comic book counterpart is a very different character, because in the comic books, he knows Arthur early on and actually helps train Arthur into being a better fighter and using his abilities and things like that. That's clearly a different version of this character right. that we're going to see here.
He wasn't like a superhero or another...
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
So he's like Alfred for Black Manta at this point.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. I have zero doubt that this movie will not get a sequel. It's made a fortune internationally already. It's been shattering records.
It'll probably get a sequel before the Flash movie comes out.
It's
out. And Man of Steel 2. It'll probably get a sequel before Man of Steel 2.
I'm going to get back to that in just a second, because there's a connection to this. But, I mean, it's outperforming massive movies overseas. It broke the Civil War records in China and things of that nature for opening weekend. So it's doing very well. If it does what it's tracking here in the United States, I mean, it'll get a sequel. There's no doubt about it.
Good. I want it to.
Part of the reason The Flash is taking so long is James Wan was offered The Flash first.
Oh, really?
And he decided to do Aquaman instead. Yeah. And so
Flash is brought back.
I think that's the issue, is that DC is just giving people the option to choose one or the other.
I think that's good, though, because then you get a character that they get the character of their preference. And
that's true.
They get to, you know.
I just feel like if The Rock had chosen Shazam over Black Adam, Shazam would have come out like a year ago.
Probably.
You're right. I don't think you're wrong on that.
But like, The Flash is a tough character. You know, one of the problems with Flash as a comic book character is that he's kind of infinitely powerful if you read the rules, right?
I honestly don't think Ezra Miller works for the role. He works for so many things, but I just feel like Grant Gustin is Barry Allen to me, and Ezra Miller is...
John Wesley Shipp isn't Barry Allen to you?
No.
Oh. That's my Barry Allen. and my Jay Garrick, apparently.
Wow. Is it Wally West?
Ship gets both of them. But.
So, you didn't say where this one ranks for you.
Well, I think it's kind of obvious. I would put Man of Steel still my favorite DCEU movie. And Wonder Woman, and then Aquaman.
Interesting. Okay.
Those are my top three.
And I would rewatch Man of Steel before I rewatch Aquaman.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I just really appreciate Henry Cavill in that role, and I appreciate the action in that movie, the way it was filmed. I don't know. I still love Zack Snyder, and I know he doesn't do a lot of things well, but I think he did a lot well in Man of Steel.
I'm a Snyder fan. You know, 300, Watchmen. Like, I love his work, most of it. Anyway.
Yeah, they're pretty fantastic.
But you know, yeah, Man of Steel. I mean, we're not going to review Man of Steel, but no. So we'll do that. Maybe some other time when we have less
retro review new Man movies of Steel. To watch. Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else, guys?
No.
I think I pretty much covered it.
We did the letter grades and the quick movie take, so you can check that out. And
would you guys revise your letter grade at all, having sat and thought about the movie and talked?
No, I still think it's a B minus.
I'm still happy with it. Yeah. I think I gave it a B plus. I think
out of all the superhero movies this year, it was one of the more enjoyable to watch. It wasn't.
I liked it. The soundtrack, the score, not the soundtrack, the score.
That's one thing we did not cover.
I really...
End credit song that Skylar Grey did was really great. But
the end credits are beautiful, by the way.
They are.
The end credits are really beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
But the score is really great for somebody like me who just loves that style of music. It's the Daft Punk kind of techno electro style of music, and I love that.
It's not quite EDM.
Not quite.
Yeah. But...
I gotta be honest with you. I know what you're gonna talk about. I don't even remember it.
If you go to this movie,
Pitbull did not cover Africa.
Boo! this one song when they go to the Sahara. They have Pitbull covering Africa.
Don't ruin a movie for other people.
It. Ruin it for everybody.
That one part and it wasn't good.
It was bad.
Look, here's the thing. It was so not significant. Like
that, Derek didn't notice it, but Derek and I, or Rachel and I, both recognized it. Derek
did. I was not happy.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice it.
That doesn't make it not significant. That means it wasn't significant to you.
But you're saying it's, well, you're saying it's only significant to you. Doesn't mean it's significant.
I'm saying
to
it's
everybody.
Significant to 2/3 of the table, and you're on the minority.
I really always thought that as a country, we decided Pitbull was no longer a thing,
and
now he's
not
a thing again, and I'm not happy about it.
And he's not allowed to remake songs that we love or use them as samples. Whatever he did,
it is not.
That's
like
not okay.
His part. Where he is sampling. Doing his rap thing, because that's not really rap either. I'm not just being stereotypical white person here. Like, that's not rap music.
Sampling's nothing new. Lots of R&B stars use sampling.
Absolutely. Not a lot of them pick songs that are so important in the lifeblood of a culture.
I mean...
Remember when Vanilla Ice did it?
Yeah.
No, he still claims he hasn't done it, so...
Yeah, he got sued and lost, so...
Yeah.
But he's sticking to it. He's got his story. All right, so we're going to wrap up then. So just a reminder, we're off next week. We'll be back in 2019 starting on Fridays. January 11th will be our first episode back in the studio, so please make sure to subscribe to the show and all that good jazz.
And of course, you can always check us out live on Twitch every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yeah, twitch.tv/heroespodcasts. You can chat with us. This is, I think, the only episode we did in all of 2018 that wasn't live, if I remember correctly. So we're going to, you know, sign off then for 2018. Happy New Year, everybody. Find us, Screen Heroes and the Heroes Podcast Network at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch, at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter, or heroespodcast.com. We're on Apple Podcasts and all that jazz.
God, that's so much stuff.
It is. Ryan, where can people find you?
On the internet.
Buster Props.
Yep.
Ray.
I am Siren Ray.
And I am the Star Trek Dude. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Happy New Year.